Good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast. Glad to have you here. Today, we will dive into what so far was a decent week one of college football, my NFL season award predictions, MLB roundup, a gas FanDuel ticket I produce and when you need the tail, AFC predictions, college football playoff and a conference winner predictions, and lastly, a look into the Chiefs versus Ravens. All right, now, let's dive into week one of college football, starting off with Thursday. First game I want to talk about is Mizzou versus Murray State. Quarterback Brady Cook was 19 for 30 for 218 yards and one passing TD with 22 on the ground and for one rushing touchdown. Biggest negative of his game, though, was the lack of connection on deep ball. Multiple passes were just fingers away from being connected or the overthrown by 3 to 5 yards. For Luther Burden, though, he had 3 catches for 39 yards and 1 touchdown. Very much is still looking like a top 10 pick in April. For the running back position, Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll can very much replace Cody Strader's workload. Noel had 11 carries for 48 yards and 1 touchdown with 4 receptions and 20 yards through the air, while Carroll had 6 carries, 35 yards, with 2 catches and 19 yards through the air. Status didn't show how dominant they looked. As for Caden Green, he allowed 0 pressures with an 85% block grade and 34 pass block snaps. Green from Lee Summit North showing his MIZ DNA early on. Defensively, Toriano Pride really kicked off the dominant night with a pick 6. While the front 7 looked amazing as they stuffed the run, only allowing 85 yards on the ground, while the defense as a whole only gave up 85 total yards to watch Murray State 0 points. With Fairfield sold out, Mizzou wins 51-0 as my Tigers look to find themselves in the new 12-team college football playoffs, which we'll look into later. As for other action on Thursday, North Dakota State University, the FCS former powerhouse, took on Colorado. Notes I took for the game: Shiloh Sanders just needs to put the fries in the bag. The defense as a whole led up 449 yards, gave up 25 first downs, and allows North Dakota State to possess the ball 36 minutes, 13 more than Colorado's offense. The defense as a whole just stunk, and Shiloh Sanders with a few late hits just looks like the future shift leader at McDonald's, man. Just a crumb bum. Offensively, the Boulders had 3 Heisman-like performances with Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, and Jimmy Horn. Sanders with 445 yards and 4 touchdowns. For Jimmy Horn, he had 7 catches, 198 yards, and 1 touchdown. And Hunter had 7 catches of his own with 132 yards and 3 touchdowns. North Dakota State, with an impressive performance that nearly squeaked out the win for them, but they still fell short. Luckily for all Colorado football beat writers, Colorado won the game 31-26. In other news from Thursday night college football action, North Carolina barely makes it out of Minnesota with a win, as the Gophers miss a game-winning field goal late in game. Unfortunately, North Carolina starting QB Max Johnson breaks his leg, ending his season as North Carolina still looks to fill the void of Drake May. North Carolina wins 19-17. NC State at first caught themselves in a dogfight early versus Western Carolina, but they walk out victorious at the end of the night, 38-21. Number 22, Kansas, looked decent. Devin Neal looks like the real deal, but outside of that, they upset the Lindenwood Lions, who I had winning that game. And yeah, the Jayhawks just looking decent. In Friday's action, number 16 Oklahoma dominates Temple with a score of 51-3. As they prepare for the first season in the SEC, I got my eyes on the Sooners. I don't see nothing special at all, but all I know is I just can't wait for November 9th at Fairfield. Michigan State hosted FAU and barely walked out with a win. In the first game of the Jonathan Smith era, led by sophomore QB Aiden Childs, they looked to make ripples in the new Big Ten. Michigan State 16-10, even after Aiden Childs told us to take the over. TCU traveled to the alma mater of everyone's favorite, Andrew Luck, and TCU beat them 34-27, as they look to bounce back from a 5-7 year. As for Saturday's slate, to kick off Saturday's games, number 1 Georgia dogs the life out of number 14 Clemson. The Bulldogs broke out in the second half, scoring 28 points and only holding the Tigers to a field goal. Carson Beck went for 278 yards and 3 touchdowns, as many NFL GMs were in attendance to find out the next great Bulldog. Number 2, Ohio State looked very impressive as Ryan Day looks to lead the Buckeyes back to the national championship game. Transfer Will Howard from Kansas State completed 17 passes out of 28 attempts for 228 yards and 3 touchdowns. While all eyes were on freshman Jeremiah Smith, who had an impressive 6 catch, 92 yards, and 2 touchdowns in his first college football game. They win 52-6 versus Akron. Number 4, Texas, number 5, Alabama, and number 6, Ole Miss combined for 191 offensive points. It didn't allow for a single point as they all three dominated and won their games. As for number 3, Oregon, they look bad. For someone thinks they have an amazing chance to win the Big Ten and National Championship game, they look very disappointed versus Idaho. Dylan Gabriel, fresh out of Oklahoma, to replace Bo Nix, threw the ball 49 times and completed 41 of his passes for 380 yards and 2 touchdowns. You would think they would blow a team out with that stat line, but the final score was 24-14 Oregon. For a stat line like that from Oregon versus an FCS team, I think it wasn't even close. Oregon looks to bounce back with a better offensive performance versus Boise State. The number 19 Miami Hurricanes walked into the swamp and flat out went crazy. Cam Ward, the transfer from Washington State, gave an early Heisman performance as he threw for 385 yards and 3 touchdowns. Cam McCormick, college football's own grandpa, who's in his 9th season and came into Oregon with Pro Bowler Justin Herbert, got himself a TV. McCormick, the 26-year-old, still representing 90s babies well in college football. For the Gators, embarrassing isn't even the word. Billy Napier is giving the same production as a coach you would pick up off the street and give a Gator polo and khakis to. The fall from grace from where the Gators first were when I got into college football is insane. But once again, they did hire Billy Napier themselves. As for number 8, Penn State, they pick up a win on the road versus West Virginia 34-12. And number 9, Michigan, beats Fresno State at home 30-10. Both teams look to sink towards the top of the new Big Ten as they both could have QB problems down the road. Michigan with the choice of David Warren or Alex Orji, while Drew Aller, well, he's just ass. Riley Leonard and the Fighting Irish storm into College Station and beat the number 20 Aggies 23-13. A big win for the Marcus Freeman and the number 7 Irish as they look to make ripples with the 12-team college football playoffs. In other news on Saturday, Tech McMillan put up the best performance this weekend with a record-breaking 10 catches, 304 yards, and 4 touchdowns for the Arizona Wildcats as they beat New Mexico. The number 21 team looks to win big during their first year in the Big 12. Ashton Jeanty is bringing so much glory back to the running back position. He had 20 carries for 267 yards and a Boise State record 6 touchdowns. They beat Georgia Southern 56-45 and play the number 3 Ducks next week on the road. Vanderbilt beats Virginia Tech 34-27 in a big win. Kyle McCord in his first game as the Syracuse QB threw for 354 yards and 4 touchdowns en route to beating the Ohio Bobcats 38-22. As for the game on Sunday, it was a good one. Both quarterbacks in this game are the definition of sticking it out. Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier are two QBs who sat behind Heisman winners for 2 years. Tigers quarterback Garrett Nussmeier threw for 304 and 2 touchdowns, while Moss had 378 for 1 en route to a Trojans win. Zachariah Branch and Kyron Lacy shined hard. The aura between those two? Flat out strong. They impacted the game heavily. Defensively, Harold Perkins looked like everything that was advertised as the Tigers lost to a late-game touchdown. In a deep SEC, this loss is to for sure hurt the number 13 team as they look to return back to the college football playoffs. For the Trojans, they score a big upset as Lincoln Riley and Co. look to use this momentum as they look to slither through their first year in the Big Ten. Lastly, Blake Baker.
Please hold that damn L. All right, now, let's move on to NFL award predictions. For Offensive Rookie of the Year, I got Caleb Williams. With an attack of DJ Moore, Roman Dunze, and Keenan Allen, it's hard to see why he wouldn't take this award with ease. With a schedule that includes teams like the Titans, Colts, Panthers, Pats, Commanders, and Cardinals, Caleb could very well eat in all those games. With games versus other Offensive Rookie of the Year candidates like Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, and possibly Drake May, these wins could come big down the road. Now, he is in a stiff division. 4 games versus the Lions and Packers could very well be 4 losses. But with talent like Caleb, record could mean jack shit in his race for Offensive Rookie of the Year. As long as health isn't a factor, Caleb could walk away with this award with ease. Plus 120 odds for Caleb on FanDuel. My runner-up, Marvin Harrison. For Defensive Rookie of the Year, this is the toughest one for me. I really don't have a top candidate, but if I had to put money on one guy, it'd be Colts edge rusher Laiatu Latu. I think he'll reach double-digit sacks with ease. With a team like the Colts, I think he will contribute very much to a team who looks to make noise in a very crowded AFC. Plus 400 odds for Latu on FanDuel. My runner-up, Minnesota's edge rusher, Dallas Turner. For Coach of the Year, I got Matt LaFleur. The reason? I believe the Packers dominate this year. Later this week on Friday, I'll dive into the team / schedule, but I believe this will be a great year for the Cheesehead.
Plus 1,300 odds on FanDuel. My runner-up, Bears head coach, Matt Eberflus. My pick for Offensive Player of the Year? I got Cowboys wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb. Lamb, who had an unreal season catching 135 passes with 1,749 yards and 12 touchdowns, looks to repeat that same production on a new contract. Now, running it back with Dak, I believe the production stays the same. I believe another good reason for him to win an award is I think CMC and Tyreek Hill drop down in their own production. I'm not expecting a season better than last year from Lamb, but I believe he stays right around there and snags Offensive Player of the Year. Plus 1,110 odds on FanDuel. My runner-up, Patrick Mahomes. For Defensive Player of the Year,
I got Max Crosby. He's the Raiders' last hope. Under the first official year of new head coach, Antonio Pierce, I think Crosby takes off. His ability and talent allows him to take over a game.
Crosby dominates the game. There's a good chance the Raiders have a chance to win. But their offense sucks. So I don't have them making the playoffs, but I do have Max Crosby being one of the only few players to reach over 15 sacks. At the end of the year, I believe he leads the sack total and walks away with Defensive Player of the Year. He's currently at a plus 1,000 FanDuel odds, and my runner-up is Cowboys defensive player, Michael Parsons. As for comeback player of the year, it took me long hard to think about this one. I thought it was really close, but at the end of the day, it's easily going to be Aaron Rodgers. With Garrett Wilson, I think they will quickly rise to be a top QB wide receiver duo in the league. For Rodgers, he can play 13 games, and as long as he shows a little flash with wins on the field, that award is his, no doubt. A plus 100 DraftKings odds. My runner-up is Indianapolis Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson. At last, for MVP, who else other than Patrick Mahomes? This is the best supporting cast since Tyreek left, and even then, it's the deepest he has ever had. With an upgraded spot at tackle and the best interior line in the league, you can only hope Mahomes barely gets touched. As Kelce is getting older, the players behind him too prove to be solid. Noah Gray and Jared Wiley look to take opportunities when Kelce takes extended breaks. For the receivers, the no Rice suspension, but he will be there for the first half of the season to eat. I expect a big year for him. For Hollywood, Worthy, and Juju, they will all give very solid seasons, eating off each other's plates as they show threats to every team. I also can't count on Pacheco in the receiving game as well. In terms of matching up this season with one of his past, I think Pat gives us a 2022 production, where he had 5,250 yards and 41 touchdowns. This is the most excited I've been in terms of an offensive talent as a Chiefs fan. Plus 450 FanDuel odds, and my runner-up is Houston Texans QB, CJ Stroud. All right now, let's take a break from football, and let's talk about the MLB. As a Royals fan, my love for baseball has been up and down. It was peak during 2014, 2015, 2016 when they had the original core of Eric Hosmer, Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, and Mike Moustakas. But after they broke up and they plummeted down to be one of the worst teams in the league for multiple years, it was hard to keep up until around COVID. But yeah, here I am, still supporting. Shout out to T-Mobile, allowed me to have MLB TV for free to catch in on any other games I want to. But let's get into talk. The regular season is quickly wrapping up, and the postseason will look like this for the AL. The Yankees hold the first seed and have a half-game lead over the Orioles in the East. The Guardians, who last week looked like they were slowly losing the division, have reached a 3.5-game lead over the Twins and Royals. For the West, the Astros look to cruise towards the West Division title as they have a 6-game lead over the Mariners. As for the wild card, the 4th-seeded Orioles have a 4-game lead on the Twins and Royals for that top wild card spot. The Royals and Twins are tied for the 5th currently. The Twins are 4-6 in their last 10, beating the Blue Jays on Sunday 4-3. As the Royals, they are 3-7 in their last 10 as a 6-game losing streak continues, losing to the Astros 2-7 on Sunday. As a Royals fan, losing Vinny P is heartbreaking. But with their September call-ups, they got Tommy Pham, Robbie Grossman, and Yuri Gurriel. As a Royals fan, I wouldn't lie, I'm nervous, but I think we can still pull it out and make it to October. Next series with the Yankees is huge. As for the Red Sox and Tigers, they look to close that wild card gap and try to make it to October. The Red Sox are 4.5 games behind the 6th seed, while the Tigers are a solid 5. The Red Sox are 3-7, losing their last 2 to the Tigers, while the Tigers are 8-2 in their last 10, beating the Red Sox this weekend. The Red Sox travel to New York for 3 with the Mets, and the Tigers head to San Diego 3 with the Padres. Two playoff-caliber teams in the NL look to shoot up and knock down two AL wildcard teams looking to return to October. As for the NL, the GTA Money Glitch Dodgers, led by Shohei Ogambler, currently have first, as they also hold a West lead by 5 games. The Phillies currently have a 7-game lead over the Braves in the East. Their recent series win over Atlanta has helped them recover what was a tough August. The Brewers have the biggest lead in the league with 9 games over the Cubs. The Rays have been the most boring division in baseball. Has been a quiet one, but I'll keep my eye on that just in case something incredible happens in the NL Central. As for the wild card, both Arizona and the Padres look to hopefully cruise their way to locking up a wild card spot. As for the losers of last year's World Series, the Diamondbacks have a 3-game lead in the wild card. And same for the Padres. As for the 6th seed, the Mets and Braves look to battle out for that one. One can wonder, will the depleted Braves dig into some devil magic and possibly return to the playoffs missing their best player, Ronald Acuña? Or can the Mets finally make it to the playoffs and win a series instead of a game, as the wild card has changed since they last won one? The Mets hold a 1-game lead and will host the Red Sox for 3, while the Braves host the Rockies for 3 in Atlanta. For MVP talk in the NL, I'd personally love Francisco Lindor to win it, especially if the Mets make the playoffs. But O Gambler's 44 home runs and 43 stolen bases is just greatness you can't deny. For Dodgers fans, you hope he doesn't fizzle off in the playoffs like Mookie. As for the AL, God, man. As someone who was blessed enough to meet Bobby Wood Jr. shake his hand at a Whataburger meet and greet on a June Thursday, it hurts to know, even with his historic season as a shortstop and great leadership with leading the Royals back to the playoffs, he won't get it over the season Aaron Judge has had in New York. Even with a good chunk of his home runs being blessed by Yankee Stadium, there isn't no denying him. So all I ask for is a co-MVP. Let the people appreciate two great players. As for any other award in the MLB, I'll dab into some research later on to really know. Baseball, well, it isn't my strong suit. Before I make you guys some money, apologies if you heard my MacBook in the back with the loud-ass fan. It just wouldn't shut up, but now it's silent all of a sudden, so hopefully the listening experience is better now. But let's make you guys some money. With my $200 bonus bet, thanks to FanDuel, your boy put up a same-game parlay. Chiefs versus Ravens, the first NFL game of the season, and I'm here to bring you moolah, peso, straight freaking cash. I know I gave up a good hype speech, but here are the props. Anytime touchdown for Isaiah Pacheco, Patrick Mahomes over 258.5 yards, thanks to his beautiful receiving corps plus Travis Kelce. As for what makes this ticket money, it's Zay Flowers under 53.5 receiving yards. Now hear me out. I think the Ravens full on pound the ball. And I mean, who wouldn't with Lamar and Derrick Henry? And when they do pass the ball, I trust the Chiefs pass rush to get to Lamar and the defensive backs to make sure Zay is limited. Lastly, I got Derrick Henry scoring a TD at any time. Like I said earlier, they will pound the ball, so Henry is due to get his inside the 5-yard line. Now, I know you're wondering, what is the payout? What will I get after investing $200 of FanDuel's own money? Well, the payout is $2,253. For $200, if you want to take a bigger risk, you can get around $6,000 if you put Derrick Henry 2 or more touchdowns for a prop. But that's if you want to get more moolah and take a bigger risk. But personally, put whatever you want, because I think by the end of Thursday night, dinner will be on us all weekend. So just make sure you tail it, share it with your friends. Just know we're making money here on the Born the Ball podcast. And right before we dive into AFC records / season predictions, over this segment, I'll give team records, team MVPs, and a quick overview of how I view their team. And once again, if you hear the fan in the back, which is the MacBook, that sounds like a old ass PlayStation 4, I am sorry about that. But let's dive into the AFC East. I got the division winner and the 4th-seeded Jets at 11-6. Team MVP, Garrett Wilson. The team led by head coach Robert Saleh will have hopes for Rodgers to be healthy. If he is, he will be with red-hot Breece Hall at running back and the superstar Garrett Wilson. With a defense loaded with players like Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams, I believe as long as Rodgers stays healthy, this team can be a force. In second place, I got the 6th-seeded Dolphins at 10-7. Team MVP, Tyreek Hill. Mike McDaniels is back for another spin around. The superstar head coach added OBJ to an already stacked roster with the likes of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Teron Armstead. Jalen Ramsey and Nick Chubb, my lord, forgive me for that. As fans looking to put a hope in this team, the biggest question remains, will Tua live up to the big games, or will he continue to struggle like he did last year? And will they show up in January, or will it be a repeat of a wild card exit? You'll see later. For third place, I have the 8th-seeded Bills at 9-8. Team MVP, Josh Allen. As I predicted, their record, I gave them wins over the likes of Chiefs and split the Dolphins and Jets series. Overall, I keep trying to think about something to make me like this team. Usually, I come up blank. With the losses of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, they look to let Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman take over the load with returning running back James Cook. If the Bills do outperform this record, will they show up big in January and finally make it to the Super Bowl? And if they do, can Josh Allen finally win MVP? Lastly, in the division, I have the 15th seeded Pats at 3-14. Team MVP, Drake May. I have this team in the Will Campbell or Tip McMillan sweepstakes. I don't trust this roster at all. They moved on from Judon, and Brissett will be their starting QB week one. Not to say that would have so much impact on the rest of the season, but looking at the roster in such a stacked division and conference, I find it very hard they will pull many wins together. Drake May will have many flashes in the season to make this record not look real towards past fans. Now to dive into the AFC North, I have the 2nd-seeded Ravens going 13-4 winning the division. Team MVP, Lamar Jackson. If there was a regular season award for the best team every year, it'd probably go to the Ravens. I think they still look great,
with a defense led by Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton, the Nate Wiggins pick late first round was really solid. Can't forget adding a top three running back in the last 5 years in Derrick Henry. This team will eat like crazy from September through December. Lamar will get all his all year, but the biggest question remains, can they sustain it in January? For the second place, I got fifth-seeded Bengals going 11-6. Team MVP, Ja'Marr Chase. The Bengals last season had a rough one. The injury bug landed on Joe Shiesty, as they call him, and he was out majority of the year. It's his second big injury since coming to the league in 2020. I would have put Joe Burrow on the team MVP, but if he was to miss a game or two, and they win one or both, no doubt that's due to top five receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who's in the midst of a holdout right now, but is currently on track to play week one, per Zach Taylor. In third place, I got the 11th seed Browns, going 8-9. Team MVP, Myles Garrett. The Browns and Steelers both suffer from being gapped out by the Ravens and Bengals. They just aren't on that level. You can most certainly blame it on the QB or roster construction, but it takes a lot to sink towards the top in this division, let alone conference. With Nick Chubb due to miss half the year, I don't see Mr. Creeps elevating this team and offense. Myles Garrett, on the other hand, will continue to feast and keep himself in Defensive Player of the Year talks. Last in the North, I have 12th-seeded Steelers going 7-10. Team MVP, George Pickens. Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin. In 2016 and probably even in 2020, I would have never imagined this coach and QB duo. But it's here. If you told me in January 2021, after Justin Fields had that big win over Clemson, that he'd be backing up Russell Wilson and the Mike Tomlin offense, I wouldn't have believed you. But I would have just laughed. But here we are. The Steelers aren't a bad team, but the second half of their schedule is killer. For team MVP, my first thought went to TJ Watt, but that just felt boring. Instead, I went with Steelers wide receiver one, George Pickens. As that wide receiver room is paper thin, regardless of who you have at QB, either it be Russ, Fields, or someone on the timeline they pick up and throw out there, Pickens will most likely get the ball, and he will most likely bring it down. For the AFC South winner, I got the third seed Texans winning 12 games and losing 5. Team MVP, CJ Stroud. If I wasn't so confident on the Chiefs and Mahomes, I'd probably be all over Stroud and the Texans. A loaded team led by Coach DeMeco Ryans, they will be adding Stephon Diggs to a loaded offense headlined by Stroud, Nico Collins, and Tank Dell, with also a quiet but fire-ass tight end, Dalton Schultz. Their defense is still loaded with two top five picks, Darius Stingley and Will Anderson, and the team has some expectations that they think, and I think, they will for sure meet. In second place, I got the 9th-seeded Jags, going 8-9. Team MVP, Joshua Hines-Allen. When having to choose a wildcard team that got bounced, choosing the Jags and Bills was hard. I personally loved having the Bills out the playoffs, but it hurt choosing the Jags. I believe that they are good and have what it takes to be in the playoffs, so I wouldn't be shocked if they busted the predictions and made it. Trevor Lawrence will be throwing to Christian Kirk, Brian Thomas, Evan Ingram, and newly acquired Gabe Davis, with Travis Etienne in the backfield. The defense led by Josh Hines-Allen looks to slow down offenses like Houston, Miami, Buffalo, Philly, and Green Bay as they shoot to make the playoffs again. For the third seed in the South, I have the 10th seed Colts going 6-11. Their team MVP, Jonathan Taylor. This is what really broke my heart, having the Colts lose 11 games. When I kept looking at the schedule, I just felt like I couldn't talk myself out of it. I really hope I am wrong, but I wouldn't be shocked if I am. Anthony Richardson is back from an injury that kept him out nearly all year. He looks to reunite and take over with Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, and Jonathan Taylor, who I believe returns back to his 2020-2021 form. Last in the South, I have 16 seed Tennessee Titans going 3-14. Team MVP, Legarius Sneed. If there was one team in the AFC I had no expectations for, it would be the Tennessee Titans. I really don't know what to expect. Will Levis is back for his second year with the cannon he's got. It will be interesting to see if he can connect with his arm talent that so far has just looked meh to me with D-Hop, Treylon Burks, and newly acquired Tyler Boyd. Defensively, Legarius Sneed was the big grab, as he is paired up with Dexter Lawrence and Jamal Adams, who they also added. Will Jeffrey Simmons put up another Pro Bowl campaign? Will Jamal Adams somehow return to his Jets form? And can Legarius Sneed solidify himself as a top five cornerback as the Tennessee Titans battle a tough schedule and conference, let alone division? Lastly, we have the AFC West. The division winners, no other than the one first seed, Kansas City Chiefs, who I have going 14-3. Team MVP, Patrick Mahomes.
I'd put my house on this being the best team in the Mahomes era by the end of the season. I'll talk so much about the Chiefs this year that I don't need to get deep into it, but the receiver room is so much better with the additions of Hollywood Brown, Xavier Woody, and the returning Juju Smith-Schuster. The best interior line returns together is Creed, Humphreys got paid, and Trey Smith might be next. Next Mahomes in the backfield is Isaiah Pacheco. And if you gamble, bet Pacheco over on his yards. He'll feast, and no, I don't care about Samaje Perine. Pacheco will be a dog. Kelce, let's keep him healthy, and hopefully he can get back to the 1,000-yard and 10-touchdown guy we know him for to be. For the defense, Chris Jones returns on his luxurious deal he signed this offseason, while nearly everything else stayed the same. But the biggest hole is left by Legarius Sneed, and the question is, who will Spags have replaced him as they look to three-peat and be the first team in the Super Bowl era to ever do so? For second in the West, I have the 7th-seeded Chargers going 10-7. Team MVP? You guessed it. Greg Roman. Run the damn ball. And Greg Roman will for sure do that, and it will be a pleasure to see it. This will probably be the worst receiving corps Herbert will ever have, so it will be interesting to see who steps up in that room. Will it be Joshua Palmer, Ladd McConkley, or even Quentin Johnson? And forgive me if I messed up Ladd's name. Defensively, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack still man the edge, while Derwin James lurks in the back. This defense every year has potential to be the best, but until the NFL turns off injuries, it probably just won't happen. For the third spot in the AFC West, I got the 13-seed Raiders going 6-11. Team MVP, Max Crosby. Davante Adams is flat out just wasting a year. The offense will be a complete mess to watch, excluding Brock Bowers and Adams. They occasionally will be a treat to watch on Red Zone during the mid-afternoon games. And Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew QB1 battle is probably one of the worst headlines I've seen for the NFL years. Just no way a franchise let that happen. For the defense, they look to bring their way to way back, led by Max Crosby. With Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Stafford on your schedule for 7 games, that would be a very tough task, led by head coach Antonio Pierce. For the last spot in the AFC West, I got the 14th-seeded Broncos going 5-12. Team MVP, Pat Surtain. Bo Nix's QB1 is something I haven't wrapped my head around. I don't know if he will look like an offensive rookie of the year candidate or get benched by week 3. With someone like Cortland Sutton, though, to throw the ball to, it'll make things go easier for sure. For the defense, led by cornerback 1, Pat Surtain, they look to stay above water with a tough schedule. I don't have any expectations for this team except getting either Ted McMillan or Luther Burden. Now, for the playoffs. By the time I read this, you probably have heard my voice so much, so let's not go long. I got the Bengals beating the Jets in MetLife as the 5th seed, and the 3rd seed Texans beat to the Tua-led Dolphins at home, while the 2nd seed Ravens host a brother-versus-brother playoff game with John Harbaugh getting the 2nd playoff win over his brother Jim, leaving us with the 5th seeded Bengals on the road versus the 1st seeded Chiefs, and the 3rd seeded Texans on the road versus the 2nd seeded Ravens. In short, it will be an AFC Championship game with 2 light-skinned quarterbacks, as you will see the 3rd seed Houston Texans on the road versus the 1st seeded Kansas City Chiefs. And 3 hours later, the Chiefs will have booked a flight to New Orleans for February as they look to 3-peat versus who? Well, you'll find out Friday when I go over my NFC predictions. All right, now, let's dip our toes back into some college football. To individually go through each team's schedule and pick a win and loss felt very hard and not as easy as the NFL. But right now, we'll be giving you the conference championship winners and runner-ups as I build up my 12-team playoff bracket. For my SEC championship game, I got the Georgia Bulldogs beating the Texas Longhorns. I think Quinn Ewers and the Longhorns put up an astounding first season in SEC, but don't overcome the Bulldogs. And as the Bulldogs look to re-grab that SEC title, you can only hope that the players drive responsibly. For the Big Ten championship game, it will be pretty easily be Ohio State versus Oregon. As for my winner, I'll go with Ohio State. Both teams play each other on October 12th, so that would probably make or break who I got winning. But as of now, Ryan Day has the Buckeyes looking legit. For my Big 12 championship game, I got Utah Utes beating Kansas State. I'm a big believer in Utah, and Cameron Risen is another college old head. But I think he will lead the Utes in the Big 12 year one and grab that Big 12 championship. As for K-State, Avery Johnson will eat alongside Dylan Edwards, and for sure will be fun to watch, as those two guys look to bring glory back to the name of Wildcats. For my ACC championship game, I got Clemson beating the Miami Hurricanes. This took some time to think about, as the top two teams coming to the season for me personally was Clemson and Florida, but they both took losses. As for FSU, they look to bounce back tonight versus Boston College, but Clemson and Miami as of now are my top two teams, and they will be in the ACC championship with Clemson walking away. For the 1G5 representative in the playoffs, I believe it will be the Memphis Tigers. Trust me on this one, fellas. They will upset Florida State on September 14th, so if you do bet, Take that to the bank. Now, let's get into the playoffs. I got number 1 seed Georgia, number 2 seed Ohio State, number 3 seed Utah, number 4 seed Clemson, all taking byes. For the first game, I got number 12 Memphis Tigers losing to number 5 Oregon on the road, while number 9 Miami will head to Fairfield and lose to the number 8 MIZ Tigers. Number 11 Notre Dame will lose to number 6 Texas Longhorns. Lastly, I got the number 10 Alabama Crimson Tide beating number 7 Penn State. For the first two teams out, I have Oklahoma State and Ole Miss. For the quarterfinals, I think number 5 Oregon storms and plays Clemson, and they dog Clemson out flat out. I think the ACC champs get embarrassed, Dabo gets embarrassed, and Dylan Gabriel and Oregon move on to the semifinals. In a heartbreaker, I got number 1 Georgia beating the Missouri Tigers. Unfortunately, I just can't convince myself to do this. For the number 6 Texas Longhorns, I got them beating the Big 12 champions, Utah Utes. And finally, for the quarterfinals, I got number 2 Ohio State knocking off the Sabin-less Crimson Tide as they still put up a really good season, but just can't make it to the semifinals. On to the semifinals, we have Oregon versus Georgia and Texas versus Ohio State. I personally don't see a way Georgia doesn't make it back to the championship game unless injuries get in the way. I got them over Oregon, even though I'm big believers in Oregon, even after the terrible game they had over Idaho. Go Ducks. And for a Game of the Year candidate, we have the Longhorns versus Buckeyes. At the end of the day, I think Ryan Day locks in this year. He takes Will Howard. He takes his loaded roster. He gets them back to the national championship. And for Quinn Ewers and Texas, they might be back. And that leaves us with the Bulldogs versus Buckeyes in the national championship game. I think the two best teams in the nation as of now. And at the end of it, I believe it will be Will Howard lifting up that trophy over Carson Beck. And the Ohio State Buckeyes will be national championships in 2025. Excuse me, national champions in 2025. I believe these last few years have been a fluke. I would put my trust in Ryan Day. Even though I really don't believe that, I just think this roster is too loaded. I just have my trust in him now. When they play Oregon on October 12th and Michigan down the line, those will tell me what I need to know. But as of now, after week 1, I got Ohio State over the Bulldogs in the national championship game. Lastly, let's get to the last thing on the agenda. Ravens versus Chiefs overview. I'm currently sitting here Monday afternoon. The first NFL game will be back Thursday night, and me and you both can't wait for it. The NFL season kicks off Thursday night, and this looks like a banger of a game. But truthfully, I don't think it's going to be close. I believe this will be the Chiefs flat out dominating the Ravens like they did on Monday Night Football in 2020. On the road, by the way. Lamar Derrick-Henry will look solid, but fingers crossed, Say Flowers gets his ass clamped down. Mahomes and the Chiefs are 4-1 against the Ravens, with 1 win in the playoffs and 3 in the regular season, with 2 of them being at home. In the regular season versus the Ravens, Mahomes has 1,479 yards with 12 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. In the playoffs, he has 241-1. In the 5 regular season games versus the Ravens in Travis Kelce's career, he's had 33 catches for 435 yards and 2 tutties. Even after a whole offseason of being cuddled up with his girl, I think Kelce and Mahomes eats on Thursday. For the two defenses, they look to be elite once again in 2024. They both return a star-studded defense with not many losses. For the Chiefs, the biggest loss being Legarius Sneed. And I don't think the Ravens had anything too crazy. But I think the Chiefs look to dominate the pass rush. I think Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, forgive me if I messed that up, GK, my boy, the Greek freak, the real Greek freak, nothing that Giannis bullshit. But I think the Chiefs eat. I've seen reports that the Ravens O-line are in a weird phase. And RIP to their O-line coach. I know that it's a struggle. Nobody should go through that. So RIP to him. But even aside from that, I still don't believe in the Ravens O-line. I think the Chiefs dominate the line of scrimmage. And for defensively, in the defensive back for the Chiefs, even with no Legarius Sneed, I believe in Trent McDuffie. I think Jaden Hicks is going to eat. Justin Reed, he'll still be solid. It's going to be a good game for the Chiefs defensively, just as long as Say Flowers is limited. For the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton is going to get his. Justin Madubuike is going to be dead in the middle. Roquan Smith is probably going to get his ass popped. If I could bet on that, I would. But I digress. He's going to get his. Nate Wiggins, got to hope he gets cooked. My trust is in Xavier Worthy as of now, but who knows? I think this game could very well be a blowout going the Chiefs' way, or it could very be close, and I'm nearly pissing myself by the end of Thursday night. Right now, I got the Chiefs 35 to the Ravens 21. The Chiefs look to three-peat, and the Ravens look to prove to be themselves in January. But like I said, they are like the regular season demons. If they was an award for them, a championships, they would get it every year. But that's my prediction. So yeah, Thursday we'll really see, and I hope to recap with $2,000 in my pocket and a Chiefs win on Friday. 35 minutes. It took us 35 minutes to get to the outro. I thought it'd be a little longer, but it's been long for me having to replay some lines, stuttering, messing up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just not perfect with my words. Same thing with my voice. Still lost it on Friday. Still recovering that. So I'm sorry if it's not the perfect quality. And of course, I apologize for the fan you hear in the back. For some reason, it sounds like a Jet, a 2017 PS4 that you still keep running. It sounds like that, but it goes silent. It goes loud for some reason, so I hope in the future you don't hear it. But this has been a mouthful for me, and this has probably been an earful for you guys. So if you made it all the way to the end, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I'm glad we tackled this first episode together. The writing of the script took maybe 4 to 5 hours, with one of those hours dedicated to Andy's first customer run. Please go get the Boot Daddy, get it medium size, and get waffle cones. You won't regret it. It is a beautiful treat. But the predictions, the looking up, this all took a long time, but hopefully it turns out well for you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and on Friday, I will finish the NFC predictions, give you the playoffs. We will recap the Chiefs and Ravens, like I said, hopefully with $2,000 in my pocket and the Chiefs win. We will get back into the MLB, catch up on the playoff race, and of course look over Saturdays, college football games, and Sundays, NFL games. Till next time, guys, feel free to find me on either social media in the bio. This week, I'll tweet out a mailbag post where you guys can reply and give me any questions you got. Please make them mainly about sports, but I can do a few non-sports ones if they fit the criteria. Well, that ends our time together, folks. I hope you guys enjoyed. I did. I love rambling in this silent room, excluding the Jet. And I hope to see you guys in a few days. Catch you on Friday. And as always, be great people and love and respect one another. Peace out.